Now, when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Oh, dear Blood River Radio family, I would like to thank you so much for hanging on. I really do it. And I think Mark did a great job, not just the first hour, but I'd just like to say one more time, I called Mark. I was on the way to the damn hospital, and I was talking to Jay and Mark and Paul, and I asked Mark if I said, I hate to dump on you, but do you think maybe you could take the show? I've got to go to the emergency room. And he did. He came in. I was really, really marveled at how good a job he did. Came in cold, no 30 minutes notice, and he did really great. And with the other supporting staff we had last week too, they pitched in, did a great job. And I'd like to thank everybody for hanging on, for backing us up through that little minor emergency, you might say. We used to say when I was in the NAM. But anyway, you're listening to Blood River Radio, and my name is Eddie Bombardier Miller, and I'd like to remind you one more time, we're even though we're not talking about it every hour, every minute, tomorrow will be the holiest day of the year. In a lot of Christians' mindset, it'd be, some people call it Easter, some people call it Resurrection Days, when all you people know is when Jesus Christ, he rose from the dead. And that's a glorious day. It really is. So just keep that in mind as we do the show tonight, because we can't make it the whole 3 hours about Easter. This isn't a religious show. I know a few people have thought we should be, but I've told them Blood River Radio will never be a hallelujah, holy hour, even though we are a Christian radio show. But as promised, we have my little sister, Miss Sister Braveheart, and I referred to her on the first hour before it came on as a convict, as a criminal. And I'm so proud because she is that. And I told Mark, I think during the break, it's been a long time since we've mentioned that. And then we have new listeners coming on all the time, and hopefully not too many leaving. But Sister Monica, I was so proud how you took a stand. And that's the reason you were branded as a prison convict. So I'm going to shut up. And before we do anything else, I would like you to tell our listeners out there why I'm so proud of you. That's not the only reason I'm so proud of, but you had the gonads of a lion, and you stood your ground, and you finished the rest of the story of why Blood River Radio is having a prison convict on the air. Go ahead, Sister Monica.
Oh, that's a wonderful introduction. So, first of all, I just want to say I'm really glad that you're sounding in good health, Eddie. You know, I mean, you are quite a remarkable man, running marathons well into your 70s. I think you're in the second half of that decade. And yeah, that's fantastic. So God bless you that you are still going strong and doing good work here. So I'm honored to join you on this show. And I guess I did go against the big taboo subject. I was a political prisoner just for, you know, wrong think, wrong speak, as it is described in the George Orwell's novel 1984, which at the time that we read that, we thought that was just pure horror science fiction. That would never happen, but as it turns out, it was a bit of a prophetic warning, was it not? Anyway, yes. So yeah, I the big taboo subject being, you know, the Holocaust, that Holocaust. When I write it out, sometimes I spell it hollow, H-O-L-L-O-W, and then the second part, cost, C-O-S-T. And, you know, there's other variations of what how one could describe it and say it and whatnot. But they've never presented any evidence for it. And that's why they have to lock people up when people start to open their eyes to the fact that what has been spewed out nonstop since the 1970s, you could say, about Holocaust, 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 through the school curriculums, through Hollywood movies, through every which way, that, gee, this is just made up. This is just made up. But most people still believe it because it's just, well, how can they lie about something so big? That can't possibly be a lie. Of course it happened. And that's how I thought most of my life. And until about, oh, I guess it's about 13, 14 years ago by now, started to open my eyes about World War II true history. And I have no regrets, Eddie. That has enriched my life, made my life much better, even though there were some consequences. But I am so happy to know the truth about that. And I have, you know, this way I also have been able to open my eyes to other deceptions. This way I was able to recognize the COVID scam from the first second that was announced, that we have some kind of a pandemic. And so that allowed me to make good decisions, i.e. don't roll up your sleeve, Monica, don't wear a mask, you know, those kind of things. That's what I explain to people, why it's important to understand the truth, because a lot of people don't really want to know. But I say, if you don't have a good roadmap, i.e. a good, an accurate picture of the world and what's going on in the world, and I'll just call it a roadmap, well, then you might drive off a cliff. You might make bad decisions, in other words. And I would say the most concrete example in our day and age of having made bad decisions because people were duped is when they rolled out the so-called vaccines for the so-called coronavirus, right? That kind of sums it up, I think, in why it's important to know the truth about what's going on. And yeah, so back to you. That was a little, you wanted me to give a little introduction for possibly if there's some new listeners. So I hope I was able to give a snapshot picture.
You most certainly did. I forgot to ask you, how is Brother Alfred? In fact, I was talking to my best friend in the world of since 1963. I won't mention his name because he would have a heart attack if I mentioned his name over the air. He told me that that maybe I have too many guts for my own good. He told me that he told me I need to remember that discretion is the better part of valor sometimes. And he, in other words, I should shut up. I said, I can never shut up. But I was going to ask one man I admire. I don't have many heroes in life anymore, but Brother Alfred is one of them. My God, I was telling my friend, I said, he doesn't give a damn what they do to him. He will not shut up. He keeps preaching the gospel. So, Sister Braveheart, how is Brother Alfred doing? What's the latest news on him before I forget? I wanted to ask you that.
Yeah, thank you for asking. He's actually doing very well in spite of the fact that he is behind bars. He has a prison job. His job is, he is a tailor. He is fixing prison clothes with, you know, good sewing machine there. He says that the previous three prisoners who had that job, and he works alone, by the way, so he's in that room alone working, but the three previous prisoners, so each of them one after the other, who had that job, they could read the Quran very well, but they were not able to read the instruction manual of how to run the sewing machine. And each of them, three in a row, caused very, very expensive breakdowns. The repairs were very expensive. Three in a row. So you can imagine that they're very happy to have Alfred there in the tailor shop within the prison now. Because not only is Alfred a very practical man, I mean, he always was the guy who fixed everything in our whole household and went out when we were growing up. But he also actually has an industrial strength sewing machine in his home because he has been doing some sewing projects that on the side. That was kind of his insurance policy when he was working for IBM for so many years in Germany. And he was sewing these weather protection units for recumbent bicycles. I do hear the music coming on, so I guess the break is coming.
We have to honor Alfred Moore when we come back. Be right back, folks. It's a short break. Don't have to call.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church, a congregation of God's covenant people. Informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you remember somebody. Dear Blood River Radio faithful, before we went to the break, our first break of the second hour, a sister Monica was talking about Brother Alfred, and he's not just it's not just like Brother Mark Tommy who came on, who's a brother of mine, spiritual brother. Alfred is actually, he is the biological brother of Sister Monica Schaefer. I only wished he was my blood brother, but you know, and I'll tell you this, people, and I told Sister Monica, there's not many people left in the world I respect anymore. There's a handful. I don't have heroes so much anymore. I used to have them. And Lord knows I'm not somebody to hold up, but people will disappoint you and let you down. Alfred is, I've never met him in person. I wished I could, but I know a lot about him through Sister Monica. I don't know anybody that would do what he's done, that keeps on sticking his thumb in the eye of the beast. He will not shut up. He keeps preaching the gospel according to Brother Alfred, just like we should. And I'm going to say this one thing, and I don't want to take up too much time, but Sister Monica said people criticize him sometimes for going overboard. Bullshit. You know what? That's because that reminds me of that poem or that speech that Teddy Roosevelt once gave called The Man in the Arena. These son of a bitches that sat out there and they sat on their ass with their finger up their butt, they will not say one word. They will not get in the street. They will not hand out one leaflet. They'll just bitch and moan. You know what they do? Just like the speech, the man in the arena, they love, oh Lord, they love to be so high and mighty, so intellectual, and point out the weaknesses of the man who's trying to do something. They try to point out when the strong man stumbles, when the man does do something, he should have done it so much better. Well, you know, Brother Alfred has been fighting the battle for all of us weaklings, and he's paid the price multiple times. I don't know how many times he's been in prison. Two, at least twice, three, four times. Because he will not stop preaching the gospel. He will not stop fighting the beast. And I salute that man. That's one of the few daggum heroes I have left. And Sister Monica also paid the price too. And more and more people need to do that. Lord knows, I don't think I'd have the guts that Alfred's got. But unless we do get off our ass, just like Sister Monica said during the break, unless people do get off their ass and do start saying, quote, too much, unquote, and when they stop thinking about, quote, we're going too far, unquote, we're never going to break free of this beast at home that has us. It's going to get worse. If you think it's bad now, you ain't seen crap. And wait 3, 4, 5, 10 years. But anyway, so, I would like to dedicate this show today, just on the spur of the moment, to Brother Alfred. Go ahead, Sister Monica.
Well, thank you for that. That's very appreciated. I'll write him that in the next letter I write. But I was saying to you in the break there, like, what have we got to lose if we don't do anything? Everything. We have everything to lose. Now, what have we got to lose if we do, you know, we really go for it? I mean, that we have to, because we do have everything to lose, because our enemy is pulling out all the stops. So I think that means that we have to pull out all the stops. So anyway, Alfred, he's a very good-natured guy. I mean, yes, I did have the pleasure of growing up with him. He's very funny. He's got a great sense of humor. He retains that great sense of humor. I'll just tell you a little bit about what he's writing about the other prisoners. First of all, he's gaining huge respect. He says it's getting to be the level of respect that he had attained in that first long prison sentence that he had, the four-year term, where 558 days of that was in solitary confinement because he resisted the mask mandate. And then 2 weeks before he was let out, the mask mandates were dropped, and so he could then mingle with the rest of the prison population. And they said, all with one voice, prisoner and guard alike, they said, Schaefer was right. Schaefer was right. And they really, I mean, he was so happy then, what he experienced in those last couple of weeks in prison, that he was relieved that he had not been released earlier by, you know, if coincidentally his sentence had finished 2 weeks earlier, he would not have experienced what he experienced in the last few days. And, you know, the guards were saying, don't come back. We need you out there. And, you know, all of them were showing him the highest of respect. And he says right now he is gaining that level of respect. He says that, you know, anybody with an IQ higher than a fence post, basically, they get it right away. And here's the thing. He gains a lot of hope from the young ones, the U-30s, he calls them, under 30s. And he says he doesn't start with small talk when he greets a new prisoner. He just starts with a question. He says, did you take the vax? And they, almost all of them, just immediately react like, oh, you think I'm crazy or something? You think I'm a dunce? And then he's happy, happy, happy. And then the next thing they say is, yeah, none of my friends took it either. Like, you know, so then he's in seventh heaven, Alfred is, when he learns that. And he says there's a real difference between the U-30s and the O-40s. So the U-30s under 30 and then the over 40s. Because many of the over 40s, when they're asked that same question, they'll answer kind of lamely and say, well, I had to take it to go traveling, or I had to take it to keep my job, or I had to take it for this or that or the other excuse. Now, of course, this was a big psyop. We know that. And the pressure was huge, 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 huge. So I'm not, I certainly don't want to insult or belittle people who took it. But just want to point out that there is this real great spirit in a lot of these young people that Alfred is seeing. Okay, you could say, well, this is the prison population. They're not the average Joe Blow that's not in prison. Granted, this is true. But all these people who have bumped up against the system for one reason or another and who are in prison, I mean, quite often when they do, you know, figure out and connect all the dots and learn the truth about stuff, and then it gives them purpose in life. And you can bet some of those people are going to be our best warriors. So yes. Anyway, there's just some heartening news like that coming out from the prison there, from his letters. And I wanted to share that. So there you go.
Well, I love hearing it. That's for Dag, I'm sure. And when you mentioned prison, one of my heroes, historical heroes, I personally don't think there's ever been a greater man, a greater white man than Adolf Hitler. If I wasn't going to donate this show to Alfred, I would donate to Alfred to Adolf Hitler.
Dedicate.
I would dedicate it. In fact, we'll probably have to do the next one to Adolf Hitler.
Well, yeah, because his birthday's coming up, the great one.
Oh, wow.
April 20th.
I share my birthday with Adolf Hitler. Matter of fact, Monday will be my birthday. I should claim it tomorrow because I was born on Easter Sunday, 1947. And I've always told
wonderful.
People. Yes, I've always told people I can move my birthday around. But, you know, something else that Adolf Hitler said, since I brought that up, since Alfred's in prison, Adolf Hitler said, when the criminals get control of society, the best people meet in prison, something like that. I'm sure
exactly.
You remember that.
You're exactly right. You see, so as the system goes more and more topsy-turvy, upside down, such as it is, you do find good people behind bars. And I'm not saying all the people behind bars are good, but many of them are. And besides which, the real criminals, like the rapists and the horrible, violent criminals, they're not there for long because they get tossed back out onto the street in our very, very criminal system, you see. So, yeah, you're right. And I do believe it was the great one, Adolf Hitler, who said something to that effect that, you know, in times when the tyrants are running the show or the criminals are running things, that you will find the best men behind bars.
God, if we only had the man like Adolf Hitler now, he could. That's what it would take. As a matter of fact, since we're on the subject of Adolf Hitler, I have something on my wall. Adolf Hitler inculcated, and this is one of the reasons they hate him so much. And who is they? And I borrowed this quote from Sister Monica: the men who wear tiny little hats. They hated him, hated him, hated him. And one of the reasons, one of the many reasons they hated him, it says Hitler inculcated into the people a sense of unity, of family, of self. Their economic system got them off the Jew gold standards. That's on and on and on. But before I forget, Sister Monica has her own podcast. I meant to see this the last show. Sister Monica has her own show. I'm very proud of her. I so am. She is on Republic Broadcasting. While it's Republic Broadcasting, before Blood River Radio was thought of, even before the political cesspool, before there was the political cesspool, there was RBN. We used to listen to Lieutenant Colonel James Bug Rice, rest his soul. I was told Peter Scoop Stanton sent me a text that Lieutenant Colonel James Bug Rice passed. He was one of my heroes. He was one of my whole heroes. Another officer, Jack McLam, rest his soul, he passed. They were on RBN. I used to listen to them religiously. And Sister Monica has their program. Sister Monica, now you come on from 7 p.m. Central, is that right?
Yes, that's right. 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm on Pacific time, but that would be 7 p.m. Central time today, every Saturday. It's called The Flip Side with Monica.
Yes.
A friend of mine, we were brainstorming to have a name for the show, and a friend of mine from the Truth and Justice for German Society, she came up with The Flip Side. So, and because everything is flipped and inverted and backwards and upside down, right? We're living in an upside down world. Where
I have a Truth and Justice for German Society sticker on my personal laptop. People, I hear the music. We'll be back in about 4 minutes, but when we come back, we'll find out what Sister Monica is going to be talking about later tonight. Be right back, folks.
How would you like to help this program reach more people and earn silver at the same time? Call or text 801-669-2211 for complete details.
News this hour from Town Hall, I'm Mary Rose. Senator Tom Cotton says despite the hardships due to the war in Iran, he believes the conflict must continue.
But in the long run, it is to our great national security advantage that we finally defang and neuter this terrorist revolutionary regime that has been spreading chaos and violence against the United States and the civilized world for 47 years.
Senator Cotton tells the Salem Radio Network he mourns for those who've lost their lives in Operation Epic Fury and prays for those who've been injured. Former Trump economic advisor Steve Moore says the U.S. war against Iran has temporarily disrupted the U.S. and global economy.
Everyone to decide themselves. Do you think that the short-term pain is worth the long-term gain? And, you know, that's for everyone to make their own decision, but I think we're going to see a resumption of the booming Trump economy.
Moore was interviewed on the Salem Radio Network. Apollo 2 astronauts are more than halfway to the moon as they seek to break Apollo 13's record.
Astronauts on board the Artemis spacecraft describing Saturday the extraordinary things they had already seen a few days into their 10-day mission to travel around the moon. Jeremy Hansen on The View.
And it just felt like we were falling out of the sky back to Earth. And I said to Reed, it feels like we're going to hit it. It's amazing that we're actually going to go around and miss this thing.
There are four Artemis II astronauts, and they are more than halfway to the moon. They will reach their destination Monday, performing a lunar flyby and then coming straight back to Earth. I'm Julie Walker.
American employers added a surprisingly strong 178,000 new jobs last month, rebounding from a dismal February, and the unemployment rate dipped to 4.3%. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Gold and silver recently soared to record highs, then pulled back. So are precious metals still a good buy? Many Wall Street experts predict higher prices ahead. Why? Because we still have trillions in national debt, a declining dollar, and inflation that keeps shrinking our savings. Even with corrections along the way, gold remains a historical hedge for wealth protection. That's why Morgan Stanley's chief investment officer ditched the 60-40 stock and bonds portfolio and recommended up to 20% in precious metals. They're getting educated, and you should too. Call Lear Capital at 800-992-2255 for your free gold investment kit, and learn how you could qualify for up to $20,000 in bonus gold. Lear Capital has over $3 billion in transactions and thousands of five-star reviews. Call 800-992-2255. That's 800-992-2255 or visit LearAlex.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people." Unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I had to come back. We were reminiscing about the old days, about RBN, about Genesis, things like that. But before I forget, and Lord knows I forget so much, Sister Monica, tell these people, we have a lot of people that love you, including no one loves you more than I do. So I claimed you first. But tell the people, first of all, how can they get to listen to people that love you and listen to you? And I know one fellow who's particular. In fact, I'm looking at his photograph on the wall right now. I digress a little bit. I'm looking at him. I'll just say James from Washington State with his beautiful granddaughter who was an athlete like you would not believe. I think she made a I better not say too much. I don't want to give her away. But I'm looking at her, and I'm looking at her and her daughter. She's married now. She's not in college anymore. But you know, Jim, he's one of your fans, and he already listens to you. But tell people how they can listen to you on RBN.
Okay, thanks for that. And then I have an announcement that I need to say before I forget too about another political prisoner. But anyway, the flip side with Monica on RBN, that's the Republic Broadcasting Network, their website is republicbroadcasting.org. And it is kind of important to have that because I remember when I was, you know, you just put Republic Broadcasting or Republic Broadcasting Network into your search bar and 1,000 other things come up that are not that network. And I guess that's probably what they do with the algorithms or something to suppress free speech, because it is a platform of, you know, things that you're not going to hear on the mainstream media, kind of like this one here too, right?
Yes, so absolutely.
Anyway, we were talking about Alfred, and I didn't yet mention, if people want to write him a letter, go to the political prisoners page on my Free Speech Monica website. So that's all one word, Free Speech Monica with a K.com. And the political prisoners page. His address is there, and it's really important to write to political prisoners. Now, speaking of political prisoners, here is one that is very important. Maybe you've already heard this news, maybe you've already announced this, but it does not hurt to announce it again and again and again. But Matt Hale, who has been already in prison, I think it's approaching 23 years out of a 40-year sentence. Anyway, he had his mailing privileges, if you want to call it that. I mean, I just think the whole incarceration of him is absolutely demonic from
it
our
is.
Criminal system. You know, they framed him for a crime that he did not do, and they planted false evidence, all these things. Anyway, he's a political prisoner, put it that way. They cut off his mailing privileges for the last 3 years, 3.5 years, maybe even. I had been in an active correspondence with him for for several years before that. And then nobody except immediate family was allowed to write him anymore. And this happened just right around the time that his dear beloved mother died, and she was like his biggest advocate.
Oh man.
And so really it's totally cruel and unusual punishment, as the saying goes. I mean, it's absolutely I have no words for that. Why would they do that? I mean, they completely cut him off. But anyway, they have restored his mailing rights. He is now able to receive mail and write mail to other people who are not immediate family members. So I have updated that information also on my political prisoners page on the freespeechmonica.com. So please take note of that, Matt Hale. And you can find out more about him on a website called, I think it's called freematthale.org. I think I've got a link there on my website to that too. So you could find that there. So that's just it's important public service announcement that I made there about Matt Hale.
Was he a lawyer, Monica?
Yeah, I think you're. Yeah, he was. I do believe that he was a lawyer. He's a young man. He went in as a young man behind bars. They framed him for ordering somebody to murder a judge or something like that. And they planted. I mean, they had some what do you call it? Somebody who pretended to be a friend but was not, and then planting all kinds of trying to get Matt to say something, and Matt never did. He says, "No, I'm not gonna, like, no, don't, no, we're not gonna do this. No. In some kind of a private meeting where this guy was taping the whole conversation, and somehow they still framed him for this crime, which there was not only no evidence for the crime, but the evidence all spoke against that Matt had, like, Matt was speaking against doing this crime that this other person who was like a what do you call that, Eddie, a plant or whatever, somebody,
yes,
who pretends
a plant, mm-hmm, a mole
pretends,
mm-hmm,
to be your friend, right, but he wasn't. Okay, so anyway, all that, but he is pro-white. That was his crime. He has, I think he was calling himself a reverend or something. You know, I'm not going to talk any more about the details other than that I know that he was just very pro-white in his teachings, in his speaking and whatnot, and very intelligent man. The reason I don't want to say much more is because I don't want to get the details wrong. So you can research about Matt Hale. Suffice it to say that he's a political prisoner and he's a victim of, you know, the anti-white war that we find ourselves in. Very talented, very intelligent man. He also plays violin. But yeah, I think you're right. He studied law. He became a lawyer. And, you know, just a brilliant man. But that's the best of the goyim who deserved his, yes, to die according to the protocols of the Elders of Zion, right? That he would be,
absolutely,
one of those, just the best of the best, right? So, yeah, anyway, that's that story. But, you know, Eddie, earlier we were talking about, well, you asked me to introduce again, you know, why I went to prison and all that. And it was about the lie of the Holocaust, you know, World War II history that we've been so lied to about, and everything is on its head with that. But right now in Canada, it is unfolding in real time. We're getting our very own Holocaust narrative. And I'll just put Holocaust in quotation marks. They're calling it a genocide of the Indians in the Indian residential schools.
Oh, God, are they bringing that up again?
Yeah. Now, on the universities, there's so many parallels with this story and how they're rolling it out and the kind of language they use, even, like, residential school denier. If you question anything that's being told in the mainstream, you know, where do we get that? Oh, Holocaust denier. Oh, that's a weaponized word, right? So,
yes,
and legislation has been tabled to throw you in jail if you question it. But what I want to say, talk about, is the universities and what's going on the university campuses. And the universities have been captured decades ago, but we're really seeing the outcome of that happening now, because there's all these mobs for on the universities when somebody goes, and I'll talk about that. I know we're coming up close to the break, but I want to tell about that and a recent happening at Lethbridge, Alberta, university there, and how there is front end and back end evidence for these mobs, these native rights mobs, you could call them, that it's not organic. It's not just students who, okay, they've been deceived and so now they're going kind of berserk and they're doing all these protests and just out of the goodness of their hearts. No, these are fomented by the university itself. And I'll tell you about that in greater detail after the break. But see, there's a woman named Frances Widdowson who has been going to various campuses, and she just asks, she wants dialogue with the students, right? She was a professor, was herself fired from Calgary University called Mount Royal or something University, and she was actually fired for something different. It had to do with DEI, you know, the maybe something to do with a tranny that she didn't hire or something like that. I don't know, excuse me, exactly what she was fired for, but she is now going around asking for evidence for the 215, excuse me, had a frog in my throat, but the 215 unmarked graves, that this is kind of the start off, the trigger of the story. It's in 2021 in Kamloops. Supposedly they found evidence of 215 unmarked graves of children who were buried in the middle of the night from the residential school, all this stuff. Anyway, there's zero evidence, even though they've gotten millions and millions and millions of dollars of our money to excavate. They have not even dug up one spoonful of dirt, and they will not, because they know that they're not going to find anything. You know, they found these anomalies in the ground from their ground penetrating radar. And I hear the music, but I'll just tell a little bit more about what happened in Lethbridge 2 months
ago. I can't wait to hear about that. What is it? The more things stay the change, the more they stay the same, with the men that wear the tiny little hats ruining us. Be right back, folks.
Are you ready to stand up for your community and support your local sheriff? Join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and become a vital member of the Sheriff's Citizens Posse. At CSPOA.org, we empower citizens like you through weekly webinars, arming you with the knowledge to back your constitutional county sheriff. Together, we can uphold our Constitution and ensure liberty and justice for all. Your community needs you now more than ever.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood Drip Radio family, I'd just like to reiterate, Sister Monica has on her, I got the sticker on my computer. What's that, the something free, what's that for German society, Sister Monica, or priest?
Truth. Truth and Justice for Germans.
Oh, that's right.
Is the website.
That's right. I got that sticker. I had to tune my computer down to look at the sticker. Also, I'd just like to remind people, I'm not trying to take over your stuff, but please, people, please do write Matt Hale. I mean, my God, I couldn't handle it. There's a lot of things I couldn't. One of the things I could not handle, being in prison. I wouldn't do it. I just couldn't handle it. I'd probably commit suicide. But this man has been in there forever. And I can tell you, Sister Monica, I know I don't have to tell you, the reason he's in there is because they are scared to death of that man. He was highly educated. I think he was an attorney. And he was spreading the truth. And that could happen to any of us. And it has happened to Sister Monica, has been put in prison for telling the truth. Her brother is still in prison for telling the truth. And I won't name my name, but I know some people come on this radio show. I'm thinking, how the hell are they staying out of prison? And I guess they can say be said about us, but you can, they can put your ass in prison anytime they get ready. Don't ever think they can't. Do not ever say, well, that's not the we have a legal system here. No. If you want to know just how corrupt the damn legal system is, if you have to ask anybody, ask some people like Sam Dixon, who's an attorney, and he'll laugh in your face if you tell you, if you tell him you can go into court and get, you know, a good, you can get justice. But that's, once again, please write. Please go into the Sister Monica site. Get that address. And write Alfred. Write Alfred. And write Matt Hale. And with that, God bless him. Another one of my heroes. I got to shut the hell up, Sister Monica. Go ahead, bro. Go ahead, sister.
You're on a roll, Eddie. Anyway, I'll just tell you. So all these university campuses have experienced these kind of like mob scenes. When Frances Widdowson goes, you can see some videos. Go to her YouTube site, Frances Widdowson, and boy, oh boy, you'll see something. But I'll tell you what happened at Lethbridge exactly 2 months ago. It was February 4th. So an email went out that morning that she was going to go and go to this atrium. It's called the atrium. It's like a public space within the campus. And do her thing, like just basically talk with students, try to present the case, ask them questions, see, you know, just engage in dialogue. Isn't that what you're supposed to do at universities, and be open to ideas and debate and discuss? I mean, that's just normal stuff, should be anyway. But they've mobbed her so far. Sometimes she gets hauled off by the police, probably mostly to protect her from the rioting mobs that are on the university. So I think, okay, are these students all just going crazy because they've been so degenerated with the lies and the, you know, the degenerative forces? Like, it's just gotten worse and worse. But here's the thing. At Lethbridge, we have evidence that this was incited by the university itself. So in the morning, an email went out to all the students and faculty that was telling them that a controversial figure was coming to the campus that morning or that day. And this individual has caused problems before or whatever on campus. So in other words, they were inciting the students to go and deal with this problematic, unwelcome person. And in fact, some of the professors canceled their classes that morning so that they could facilitate attendance at this public space, the atrium. Okay, that's bad enough right there. Then the mobbing and the violence, like they tore up and vandalized the stuff. Like Tony Hall was there too. And he's been on my show before. Maybe he's even been on your show. I can't remember now, Eddie. But anyway, he was there and their spouses were there. And I mean, 3 out of 4 are quite elderly of these 4 people. And they were being blasted in their eardrums with the horns that the students got out of the music room. And they had signs there, make your ears bleed. And they were using all kinds of obscenities that I would not dare to repeat on this show because they were literally just obscenities that were being hurled. And like I say, like Tony's stuff that he had, his papers, everything got grabbed and torn and shredded. I mean, this was violent behavior. Then a week later, I don't have time to go into the details of everything that happened. A week later, there's a purification ceremony by one of the professors there who is a very powerful professor. His name is Leroy Little Bear. Okay, so Leroy Jesus. Little Bear, very, very powerful man amongst the Blackfoot Cree, I think it is. And powerful these days, the you know, the Aboriginal folks, they've got a lot of power given to them, basically, through those who are at war against us and who want to dispossess us of our lands and property. Anyway, he's a high up creature at the university, a professor. He had this purification ceremony. Now, were any students charged? Were there any reprimands? Were there any admonishments for their, you know, maybe they got out of hand or something? No. He praised them. He praised them and said they did well. Now, Eddie, is this for real? Is this the real world? Is this what we're living in? Well, yes, this happened. Like, it has gotten so out of control, insane. Oh my goodness. yeah, it kind of leaves me speechless. I'll pass it back to you for a comment.
You know, I'm not surprised at all. And, you know, we talk about Charlottesville a lot on this radio program. By the way, golly, it's next year will be the 10th anniversary of Charlottesville. And when we were there, I didn't go. We had a big protest. I'll say we, the League of the South, and other people in our group, went to protest the statues from being torn down in New Orleans, Pikeville, Kentucky, and other places. Charlottesville was like the bloodiest of bloody. And we saw things like that. They were paid protesters, Sister Monica. They were instigated people. They were busloads of protesters brought in. Lord knows they didn't need them because there was plenty. The entire populace of Charlottesville, where there was a university, I think the University of Virginia is there. In any city, any area where you have a big college, a big university, that's the hotbed of communism.
Yes.
Especially in the United States.
Canada, too. We are seeing this. And I think that the universities were captured going back decades, perhaps since, you know, following World War II times. And I don't know from before that, but certainly after World War II, the universities have been captured. It started a little bit gradually with the departments of sociology, the departments of anthropology. Those departments were basically taken over by, you know, Jewish, like lots of Jewish professors, much higher proportion than the general population of Jews within our society, right? Like if they are only 1.5 or 2% of the population, they certainly are a much higher percentage of them in university, and especially in those departments of, like I just mentioned. And then gradually it just got, you know, the direction that the universities have taken, I mean, they're just completely captured. And I always have my other brother, the other brother's yes. voice ringing in my ears, says when I was having a argument with him, and you know, discussing these matters, and I can't remember specifically what we were discussing. Maybe we were discussing Bolshevism or something like that. And he says, "Oh, you mean all the university professors were wrong?" And I mean, yeah, how do they do it? The story of what they did to Professor Anthony Hall, Tony Hall, and he was one of the four people there that day on February 4th. This is 10 years after he was kicked off of his own campus where he had been teaching for 26 years. Wow. He won that fight, by the way, and he is now has his full credentials back and his full pension and everything. But, you know, he's Professor Emeritus now. But anyway, what they did to him is illustrative of how they handle professors who step out of line, you see. So he stepped out of line as far as, you know, he was talking about 9/11 and Israel's involvement, and he was saying things to his students that did not sit well with the Jewish lobby. They were really seeking ways to get rid of him. And then when he was associating with me and with my brother Alfred, well, that was like a clincher. Oh, he's a Holocaust denier now. Oh, yeah. He's associating with Holocaust deniers.
God forbid.
So they painted him with all kinds of evil labels. And then they, it's a long story. I know we're almost out of time, but anyway, that's a very interesting story in and of itself. But yes, that's how they keep the professors in line. They get rid of them if they're stepping out of line, right? Sure. And that makes an example for other professors. And then they, you know, the whole education system is captured. So who's coming up through the system? It's those who are, it's just ever more sort of Marxist oriented.
So, yes, and, anyway. Some people would say it started probably back in the 30s when our beloved Adolf Hitler came into power and they drove those Jews out of Germany. And they had this thing called the Frankfurt School, which we don't have time to talk about.
Right.
They came in and they,
right.
went, they made
You're
the
right.
long march through the institutions.
The well, long march through the institutions, and we're seeing the outcome now. Anyway, it's been nice to be on with you. Thank you very much for having me back on.
Thank you for coming on. Stay in touch. I'll do the same. We're transitioning to the third hour. We're going to bring on Paul Fromm and Les Borie on another political circle. People got about 4.5 minutes to get you some coffee, et cetera, et cetera. Be right back. Don't be late coming back.